We covered a lot of different subjects, and some of those subjects have caused a bit of drama.
Jay Anderson is just dropping nukes on Lou, bro.
He's a dodgy dude, I don't care.
This is a fake. That's not a shadow. That's a darker field. They all know something, but none of them can tell us, and they all knew it from someone else.
Jay Anderson from Project Unity went on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he spoke about this conflict that's been going on.
We've seen people like Lou Elizondo present UFO images to the public and in congressional settings, purporting them to be real, only to be debunked very soon after. The people who represent this disturbing side of the research community did exactly what I expected they would do once my Joe Rogan episode was out in the wild. So I spoke about what I believe to be one of the core reasons for the emergence of people like Lou and the To The Stars Academy team. Exactly what Tom DeLonge was implying in these leaked emails to John Podesta of all people, revealed by WikiLeaks, where Tom is assuring Podesta that the To The Stars Academy goal is to essentially change the perception of the youth of today to be more pro-military and pro-government.
At first I'd go to a building and get a badge, my ID, and fingerprints. Then I took that badge and I had to go through guard shacks with machine guns. Then I had to go to a very specific building. I had to leave my phone in a box.
I find the search for answers within our most ancient history as cotangent with the UFO phenomenon and the modern study of this phenomenon. The correlations between the ancient stories, the records and the testimonies, and the UFO events of the modern age are enough to conclude that there is some form of intelligent other on this planet, around this planet, perhaps inside this planet, that has been interfacing with humanity in relatively cryptic and ambiguous ways, at least in the more modern era. But that some form of interaction has in fact been taking place throughout all of human history, and maybe represents some aspect of an intelligence that we once had a more familiar and direct relation with, which has since decayed post-cataclysm as the human species adapted to a more hostile environment, and in turn became a more hostile species. Either way, the connection between the modern alien UFO encounter experience and the ancient accounts of gods and angels and demons and the like, it's far more than just a superficial connection. And that's something that I wanted to highlight on the Joe Rogan podcast, that there are these very interesting theological correlations, historical accounts and modern cases that tie into a shared set of experiences across thousands of years, documented human encounters with the unknown. The whole experience being on that podcast was surreal, actually. You know, being flown out from the UK to Texas and walking into this studio space and seeing this museum of gift replicas and ancient artifacts. There's all these various pieces of memorabilia in the studio that Joe has in the building. It's awesome. Sadly, you're not allowed to film and take photos around there, otherwise I'd be showing you. So you'll just have to take my word for it, but it's very cool. And, you know, we got into the main filming space and sat down, put the headphones on, and bam, we were just into the podcast.
What's happening, man?
What's
very
up,
nice
bro?
To meet you.
It's great to meet you as well, Joe. We covered a lot of different subjects, and some of those subjects have caused a bit of drama. Specifically in regards to my thoughts on the UFO subject, and I think that's something worth talking about here. So I actually came up through the UFO subject. A lot of you who have been subscribers for maybe the last year or so will have likely only really seen me doing the ancient history research and going out and documenting these places. Now, this is extremely important to me, but this is a research field that I've only really been diving into for a couple of years in terms of committing significant amounts of time towards it. I actually came up through the UFO subject because I myself am a UFO experiencer, or so-called UFO. I don't know how to really define what I saw in reasonable terms, but yes, I'm an experiencer, and I was actually actively attempting to have an experience, attempting to have a contact event. And that's something that is extremely controversial in of itself, and you know, this idea that there's a viable method of having an experience with so-called UFO phenomena through the idea that you can somehow project your thoughts, your intentions out into the ether and have something respond to you, something that can somehow pick up on and receive your thoughts and then respond to those thoughts. Now, right off the bat, that's insane. I understand. I totally understand that it sounds illogical. It sounds fanciful and magical. But it's actually not, because there are viable mechanisms within the human brain-body system and distributed through the wider reality that we're immersed within that do offer potential communicatory pathways for data or energy to be transferred from one system to another, like a human being to another conscious system, regardless of distance. And what about the often laughed at, although certainly being readdressed with a little bit more of an intense scrutiny, the concept of psi abilities, extrasensory perception, telepathy, remote viewing, you know, the idea that our own consciousness is not restricted to the body, but can in some way traverse mediums of energy to observe information, not localized to their specific coordinates in space and time, we could say, but are in some way accessing a form of information highway where linearity collapses, all moments are essentially observable. Do you hold space for that?
It's non-locality. It's quantum entanglement. So, you know, entanglement between two separated things. So if you make a measurement here, this one feels it instantly. This was predicted in quantum mechanics, and Einstein didn't like that at all. They called it spooky action at a distance. And yet it was proven in 1986. It was shown in an experiment by Alan Aspect in Paris. And soon after that, everybody, the hotshot physicists around the world, were showing entanglement between mountaintops, from a satellite, underground cables, all this and that. And, you know, how do you explain that? Einstein couldn't explain it.
The non-local potentials of human consciousness. Now, this is a long-standing debate within physics, within neurology, within biophysics. Is consciousness generated by the complex neural architecture of the brain and its relationship to the rest of the body, or is the body itself a complex biological antenna of sorts that is able to render energy into something that we call consciousness or self-awareness? The concept of initiating some form of contact with another intelligence in reality through utilizing your own consciousness can actually be viewed through the lens of quantum biophysics, and I think it's incredibly important to secure viable anchors into empirical reality for something as bizarre as the claim that I am making. But I only make this claim about consciousness-related contact with these other phenomena, including what people call UFO phenomena, because I did it, and it worked.
And it revealed a triangle formation of about 25, maybe 30 orange orbs of light.
I want to highlight some of the issues that have caused emotions to rise in the UFO community since my Joe Rogan appearance. Like I said, I came up through the UFO research community because of my experiences. So right off the bat, it has to be established that I'm not a debunker, I'm not a skeptic with a biased agenda. I am, in fact, a direct experiencer of the unknown and passionate about finding answers for my own experiences and the wider experiential landscape of the UFO research community. It didn't take long for me to get connected to interesting individuals. My first big break was when the brilliant researcher Richard Dolan and his equally talented wife Tracy gave me a shout out for my investigative work on a particular facet of the UFO research world known as the Eric Davis Notes or the Admiral Wilson Leaks.
Can we mention the little promo video that we just saw that would be great for people to see? It really speaks to what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got it on your screen
there.
Yeah,
this is by Project Unity. We saw this right a while ago. And you can look up on YouTube the UFO Leak of the Century. And
Reading Room Promo, it's called.
It's only 7.5 minutes long, and right, it really speaks to exactly that.
I like it, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing where they go with it. It's about the Wilson document, and there's clips from Edgar Mitchell talking, like in retrospect,
that's
you can
right
see he's clearly talking about this on television. There's
you
clips
can
of
see
Stephen,
how uncomfortable he is, but that
right,
but you can see how these guys put this all together.
Stephen Greer's in there.
Kudos to them.
Now, me and an anonymous researcher, who I called Mr. X, put together a 3 hour plus breakdown. Frankly, it is the most detailed breakdown online of the Eric Davis or Admiral Wilson document situation. In fact, less than 24 hours after I uploaded this breakdown of the situation, I was contacted by Leslie Kane and Ralph Blumenthal on behalf of the New York Times, and they asked me if I'd be willing to take the video down for a short period of time. This was a few years back now. This is maybe 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, because they wanted to do this story. And I told them that I'd be willing to take the interview down temporarily for their story if they let me have the first interview when they broke that story, which they agreed to do. So I ended up getting an exclusive interview, the first long format interview with Leslie and Ralph when they were doing the New York Times stories on UFOs. And this was very early on. So it established me within the UFO community as a researcher and interviewer. And, you know, people were already saying, how did this kid I don't even know about land the first interview with the New York Times journalists on the UFO subject? And people began to wonder who I was and who I was connected to. But ultimately, it just came down to them contacting me and giving them an offer, which they then accepted. So I ended up over the years securing the very first interviews with people who are now major players in the UFO research field. I got the first interview with Ross Coulthart, the first interview with Congressman Tim Burchett, the first with Admiral Tim Gallaudet, the first and only interview ever done on the UFO subject with Admiral Bobby Ray Inman, who is the most powerful man I think I've ever spoken to. I got the first and only interviews with Los Alamos National Lab Special Projects Manager, Oak Shannon, who is an integral part of the Eric Davis notes or the Admiral Wilson document saga. I got the first interview with GS-15 CIA officer John Ramirez. I say this not to brag, but to highlight that I'm very passionate about this subject and I worked hard to gain connections and bring out information for the rest of you. Now, I would argue that the vast majority of people in the UFO community are actually in support of what I had to say, especially regarding people like Lou Elizondo on the Joe Rogan Experience. But I also highlighted an element of this research community which is highly disturbing. And the people who represent this disturbing side of the research community did exactly what I expected they would do once my Joe Rogan episode was out in the wild. They went on the attack. But they didn't attack what I had to say. They didn't offer rebuttals of counter-information to what I had to say on Joe Rogan. Instead, it was just ad hominem attacks and the spreading of false rumors. Like that I drink my own pee and recommend that others do as well. And, you know, this is laughable and it's immature. But at the same time, it's very concerning because what you're seeing here represents 0.1% of this network of people and what they're capable of doing to others in the community and have done to others in the community for a number of years now. But what I highlighted on Joe Rogan is that these groups of men who act like children, who are rabidly in support of anything Lou Elizondo says and does, are also followed by Lou. They have direct messages with Lou. They're in private group chats with Lou. They frequently have Lou on as a guest, even though we're talking about very small channels, below 10,000 subscribers. And then these guys will upload selfies where they're hanging out with Lou. So these people have dubbed themselves as the Lou crew online, but more often than not, outside of their echo chamber, this group is known as the UFO hate group. And they earn this title by being an organized network of trolls and hackers and all-round scumbag personality types who have banded around Lou Elizondo and essentially attack anyone who offers any form of critique or counter-opinion to what Lou has to say. Lou, of course, being a literal counterintelligence officer. It's something that cannot be overlooked when we see the development over the course of years of a radicalized network of essentially extremist activists who have no problem breaching privacy, abusing your family, and attempting to ruin your life in any way that is accessible to them simply because you don't trust the word of a career counterintelligence officer. And again, these people who have tiny accounts, they don't do any real work, there's no actual research being done, they're not doing documentaries, they're not really doing interviews. All they really seem to be doing is trolling and abusing people online, but they're actively followed by Lou. He responds to them. He elevates them through appearing on their podcasts. You know, these are all subtle ways in which psychological manipulation has taken place, and these impressionable, for the most part, quite frankly, relatively low intelligence guys are just falling into alignment because they are being treated with this kind of pseudo respect from intelligence operatives who are using them to disrupt group cohesion in the research community. And I didn't hold back from speaking about this on the Joe Rogan podcast, much to the disdain of the hate group members who are now having some pretty big emotional breakdowns over this. I even had Lou Elizondo's lawyer, Ivan Hanel, resharing this whole pee drinking claim about me. He did no research into it to see if it was true, and later had to apologize to me and deleting the post. But it just goes to show, you know, these guys are thirsty for an excuse to attack, and they're so ready to do that that they don't even bother to check if what they're sharing is legit. And this is Lou's lawyer. This is not a good look for these guys at all, but it does follow a pattern. Again, something I highlighted on the Joe Rogan podcast was Lou's repeated sharing publicly, and including a congressional setting, false images of UFOs, which he then had to walk back on and apologize for distributing, which is really insane when you think about it. This is meant to be the director of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, the modus operandi of which is to be able to analyze and understand the signatures of UFOs and differentiate between prosaic and exotic. And this guy can't do that for images that he's meant to be vetting prior to going out on stage or in a congressional setting and providing these images as some form of intelligence. I mean, like, seriously, the discrepancy here is actually so palpable. I don't know how anyone isn't feeling it. So I went out there and I spoke my truth, that I'm a passionate researcher, I'm a legitimate experiencer of some form of UFO phenomenon, and I came into this subject with bright eyes and an open mind, and when To the Stars Academy came around, I was excited. When Lou and Chris Mellon and the rest of them took to the stage, I was supportive. You know, I've got one of the first interviews with Lou, and at the time I thought he was incredible. But this perception began to degrade over the course of years, you know, for so many various reasons. People want to act like they know why I have these issues, and then they get it completely wrong. They assume I've been groomed by an anti-Lou type or some group, or that perhaps I'm actually an agent provocateur that's been sent to disrupt the flow of disclosure. But it's nothing like that. My perspective was gradually changing with each false promise, with each contradiction in the storyline, you know, with each fake UFO photo that was put out there as real, with every relationship he forged with toxic individuals online, the sock puppet accounts that were revealed to be Lou's, you know, these anonymous accounts that were online, faceless bureaucrat, no-name bureaucrat, these are his hidden accounts where he would interact with people online. You know, there are so many different reasons that have piled up over the years. For me, it's actually more like, how are you guys not seeing this? And now in 2025, it seems like the vast majority of people have lost faith in these guys and have every right to do so. And I can't condone the type of behavior I've seen emanating from the inner circles of Lou's online associations. It's not drama. It's not hyperbole. People have had their lives ruined, their families harassed and threatened, their underage children and siblings have had their images put online by these weird middle-aged dudes who are obsessed with Lou Elizondo. I mean, how fucking weird is that? People have had their phones and their laptop cameras hacked. You know, this is a group of radicalized internet nerds and tech guys. So you have hackers in this group. You have people with, you know, technical savvy. There are even members of this group that have bragged about having federal backgrounds and have access to sensitive federal databases, which they have used to try and dig up dirt on people. Okay, so this is crazy. The hate group deems these people as enemies of UFO disclosure or enemies of Lou, and all of these different people within the network utilize their connections and their skill sets to destroy you. It's insane, and it's stupid, and it's dumb, and these guys normally should just be laughed at. But the truth is that regardless of drama online, this group has done and continues to do real damage. And I'm sorry, but in every way possible, it is obvious that all of these roads lead back to Lou Elizondo, the To the Stars Academy group, and the psychological manipulation of the UFO community over the course of 5 years. this hate group, whether directly or indirectly of his making, Lou is fully aware of the behavior. That's the thing. He's fully aware of the behavior exhibited by these people, and he does not punish them or call it out. Instead, he follows them, he talks to them privately, he visits them and takes selfies with them, and that's how you expand the problem rather than fixing it. And again, Lou is a career counterintelligence officer who has a portfolio that includes CIA black sites at Guantanamo Bay, Camp Platinum, Site 7. This is a shady dude, it's a shady guy, and I don't understand the hero worship, especially now in 2025, off of the back of multiple fake UFO images he's put out there that were subsequently debunked. And people want to say, oh, it's just making mistakes, like he's allowed to make mistakes, why are you being so hard on him, it's just a human being. Like, okay, first of all, he's meant to be the ATIP program director, so going back to that whole thing of he should have the skill set to be able to vet images appropriately before putting them out there, right? Because that's apparently what he was doing in ATIP. So that's point one. Point two, in one of the instances where he presented fake UFO images to the public, this one where he was actually on stage, I can't remember whereabouts on stage he was, like what country he was in, but this was an event, people have video and photo of it, where Lou Elizondo is showing an image of what he says is a mothership, right? And it's this light phenomena that's in the sky that's kind of like a flying saucer. You're seeing an image of it right now. Now, he actually said on stage that he received testimony from pilots corroborating this event. Okay, it was then subsequently debunked as a reflection of a light fixture on the window, and Lou Elizondo actually admitted that he wasn't sure about this and he didn't know, and he apologized for actually circulating the image because he had to admit that it was actually a debunk and it was fake. But how do you, prior to all of this, go on stage and tell people that you have pilot testimony corroborating the event? That's what makes it very interesting to me, because that's not just a guy making a mistake. That's someone who has a whole story around this fake image, gets caught out and has to admit it's a fake image. And so what happened to those pilots that you got the testimony from? You know, it's not mean, it's not bullying to ask these questions. It's not attacking to ask these questions. It's not anti-disclosure to ask these questions. It's critical thinking. It's being an intelligent human being. It's not being duped by some weird psyop and groupthink, which is what a lot of people seem to still be suffering from. Okay, I don't suffer from that. So I don't mind going out there and literally saying, well, hang on a second, this contradicts your story. So can you explain that? But he never explains it, he just moves on. And then he calls, you know, me and others liars on X, because he'll never ever face the people that actually have the receipts, that have collected the receipts and the contradictions over time. Like, you know, we've done our work, mate. We've done our work. So I know you won't ever want to talk to us directly about that. Again, it's not about being against disclosure. It's about noticing when the behaviors of those who are promising disclosure to us are out of alignment with their proclaimed goals. And it's about noticing patterns of behavior over time. It's about being a critical thinker instead of thinking that to go against Lou's behavior and the behavior of these weird activist extremists that are surrounding him is somehow going against the UFO subject or is somehow damaging disclosure. But if disclosure is being managed by psychological warfare strategists and black site torture czars, something's gone fucking wrong. And it's not going to go in the direction of truth. It will go in the direction of propaganda. You know, many of us have seen this build up over the years because I've experienced it and I've seen others go through it as well. People I care about. My own subscribers, my own Patreons who have come to me and said, Jay, I'm going through some crazy shit. And it's all about this hate group online. So yeah, it's impacting people's lives significantly. So I spoke about what I believe to be one of the core reasons for the emergence of people like Lou and the To The Stars Academy team, the public benefit corporation set up by Tom DeLonge and career CIA spook Jim Semivan, which resulted in a multitude of false promises that were never realized for those who invested in the company back in 2016, 2017. I was told by a very prominent journalist in the UFO field that Lou Elizondo had admitted to them that the ATIP program that he claimed to be the director of within the Pentagon was in fact a cutout, a superficial, unofficial effort dressed up to seem like an official program, and the ATIP was in fact established solely for the launch of To The Stars Academy. Now, I'm not going to say who it was that told me this because I'm not going to betray their trust. Needless to say, I've had several interviews with this journalist on my channel. Okay, so you can put two and two together on that one. I spoke to Joe Rogan about the fact that the only major influence in ufology prior to the Stars Academy was Dr. Stephen Greer. Now, it honestly doesn't matter if you like him or you don't like him or you trust him or you don't trust him. It's not about that. Okay, I have issues with Greer. But again, that's not the point. The point is that it's just a fact that he was the main influence before Lou Elizondo and before To The Stars Academy came onto the scenes. He was the only person who was putting out Netflix documentaries that were getting millions of views, all right? And he was offering a completely different narrative. Whether or not it's correct is, again, not really the point. The point is to observe what happened to the UFO community after 2017. Greer was offering a narrative that painted these black projects as illegal programs that have held back humanity for over 100 years due to technological stagnation, keeping exotic energy and propulsion systems back from global applications, and he was calling for criminal investigation. Okay, he was saying we had already cracked gravity control in 1954, that we already had successful reverse engineering of non-human technology, and that consciousness was essentially the keystone to truly understanding the high strangeness of the UFO phenomena and how consciousness offers a peaceful communicatory pathway for open contact with these intelligences. So that was what Greer was presenting.
There's an unconstitutional, unsanctioned, global superstate that runs these projects. It's not just US or UK. And it does not respond to constitutional authority. Period. Secondly, the people who are in those positions in the US, UK, Five Eyes, other countries, if they know about this issue, it's because they were recruited earlier and moved up through the ranks. And they're still going to keep it secret from their colleagues at that level of government, whether it's a senator, a member of the House of Lords, a member of Parliament, a cabinet member, person in XYZ president's administration. Doesn't matter, left, right, center, doesn't matter. None of these sort of things that people think are tactical security are gonna help you. I mean, this is one of the things I'm mentoring the US government on right now, the part of the government trying to get into the UAP UFO issue. It's that the group that you're concerned about, these clandestine deep black operations, they have technologies that are reverse engineered from interstellar craft that are thousands of years ahead of you. So you're not going to be able to keep anything secret from that organization. And it is a corrupt organization. So you have to look at it as what it is. It's basically the world's largest criminal syndicate. Many of the men and women, mostly men, that I work with have had lethal force threatened at them or their families. I mean, we're talking about a nasty, thuggish, I use the word thugs, for this clandestine, illegal clandestine group. And so I don't, you know, I know the risks that I've taken. I've accepted them. These technologies have been around for over 100 years. And the reason they're not out is because there are very powerful forces that do not want it out. And if you're someone, if you have $100 million, which is a very small startup in Silicon Valley, and a technology like this, you will not get it out. If you had $100 billion, you're not going to. If you don't understand who you're up against and what you've got to do to get around that blockade.
Now we have a completely different narrative from Lou and the rest of the government officials that represent the new wave of UFO conversation. These people are telling us that, yes, there have been crashes and recoveries, and yes, programs have been created, but that we've not been able to successfully create these platforms ourselves. None of these UFOs represent a human-made vehicle. The Americans don't have any technology like this. They also want to push the national security-orientated narrative above all else, that these UFOs are a potential threat, that we don't know what they are, they're breaching secure airspace, they're buzzing nuclear facilities, they're shadowing military operations, and that we just do not know what to do and how to explain this to the people.
We know that UFOs exist. This is not no longer an issue. The Navy itself has publicly acknowledged the fact that they exist. And Navy pilots, active duty pilots, have gone on the record in the New York Times acknowledging the fact that they exist. So the issue now is, why are they here? Where are they coming from? And what is the technology behind these devices that we're observing?
Hey, To the Stars Academy is right on the front. Pretty cool.
Essentially, the To the Stars Academy, or TTSA, as I'm just going to call it from now on, essentially the TTSA group have worked to remodel the public perception of UFOs towards a far more, frankly, sinister narrative that posits the UFO presence more as a form of probe or scouting party prior to some type of invasion or organized attack, evaluating our military capabilities before striking. That's the kind of vibe that we get now. Potential threat, national security, potential threat. I think that Greer was seen as a potential threat. Again, you don't have to like him. You don't have to agree with everything. Just look at the objective facts. He was the influencer prior to TTSA. So I think Greer was seen as a potential threat. He was a rogue element out in the wild who was gaining massive traction. And he was presenting a narrative to the public that was not going to do the US government or the wider national security apparatus any favors, riling up the public towards the idea of multi-agency audits and investigations. That would be extremely damaging for the gatekeepers of this information within the quasi-governmental private aerospace programs that we're dealing with. And so what were they supposed to do? How could they combat this charismatic and popular UFO researcher? He's landing Netflix deals, he's traveling around the world, and he's spreading this message. Well, there isn't much that they could do other than buy him out or eliminate him permanently, until one day, a rock star with a global following and a direct link into the consciousness of the youth of today, Blink-182 singer and guitarist Tom DeLonge, walks into Lockheed Martin with the desire to help them address the UFO issue. Now, this is something that Tom DeLonge has talked about. He talked about it on a Fade to Black episode back in, I want to say, 2015.
I pitched an idea, and this person says, we can't have anything to do whatsoever with that topic because there has never been one bit of evidence whatsoever that it exists. And I looked at everybody. I said, can everyone leave the room? Keep in mind, I'm in a secure installation. At first, I had to go to a building and get a badge, my ID and fingerprints. Then I took that badge and I had to go through guard shacks with machine guns. Then I had to go to a very specific building. I had to leave my phone in a box. And then I go through two security scanning kind of devices. Then I'm in a hallway. That hallway has speakers playing white noise. So it's, you know, it's that right. White noise, so no one can hear each other's conversations. Then I go through another set of doors that has all these electric locks on them. And inside there were like five offices with no windows, and it's the heart of the place where all the real stuff happens. And it was in that area, in one of the rooms, where I looked at everybody and asked them to leave, except for this one person, after he told me none of this stuff exists. as soon as they left, I shut the door, and I said, sir, I understand the national security implications of this. I am not naive to this subject, and I do know that it is a very tricky and fragile subject. But I have an idea that I think you will find merit in, if you just hear me out. I am here asking for guidance and permission before I do this, because I do not want to scare anybody. I do not want to break any rules, and I do not want to do the wrong thing.
And I relayed this to Joe Rogan, that Tom offered them a template through his To the Stars Academy idea and repeatedly stated that he wanted to help these people and have the desire to be of service. He wanted them to lead the charge. He just wanted to help them do it and be the influencer who gave their strategy the fuel it would require to make noise. And this is where the whole To the Stars Academy template was put together. This is when Tom DeLonge was suddenly being introduced to people like Lou Elizondo. And then we had the New York Times getting involved with Lou, and that is how the whole tic-tac UFO story and government UFO program ATIP conversation got started. And since then, it's been the TTSA crew essentially running the show. pushing a narrative that is geared towards national security threats. Again, the complete opposite of Greer's narrative, telling us they have no knowledge of what these UFOs truly are, which is also the complete opposite of Greer's narrative, and telling us that the flight characteristics and the behaviors of these UFOs are unlike anything in the US inventory or any known world government or military inventory, which is also the complete opposite of Greer's narrative. But not only was there a complete directional change in narrative once the TTSA crew took over the UFO conversation from Stephen Greer, there was an incredible level of animosity given to Greer himself, especially from Lou Elizondo, who, when asked about Greer, once said that he does not negotiate with terrorists.
I'm going to assume then that you're not going to take up Dr. Stephen Greer on his offer to have a online live debate on third phase of Moon then.
Who's Greer?
There you go.
I'm kidding. Look, I don't negotiate with terrorists, bottom line.
The implication then being that Greer is some form of domestic terrorist, which is just demonstrably untrue and ridiculous to say. A leaked text message from Lou also showed him branding Greer and others as felons when they're not felons. So it seems pretty clear to me that Lou wanted to get rid of Greer, get rid of his influence, and replace it with his own, which he has actually succeeded in doing to a pretty significant degree. That influence is admittedly now waning due to his own actions and people simply just becoming more suspicious of him over time, but it seems clear that one of the goals of the TTSA group was to remove Greer's uncontrolled influence and replace it with a controlled influence, replace it with a government-approved, DOPSA-approved soft disclosure that can act as a form of PR for the military-industrial complex, which coincidentally is exactly what Tom DeLonge was implying in these leaked emails to John Podesta, of all people, revealed by WikiLeaks, where Tom is assuring Podesta that the Two to Stars Academy goal is to essentially change the perception of the youth of today to be more pro-military and pro-government. Now, these emails show us that Tom was simply willing to act as a pawn in a much larger game. I think he was used and then discarded once To the Stars Academy was no longer needed and people like Lou had gained momentum beyond it. Tom was no longer considered useful and has since gone extremely quiet on the UFO subject publicly, which he was at one point being vocal about on a daily basis. So what have we seen? We've seen sleazy tactics, we have seen contradictions in stories, we've seen character assassinations, we see a complete subversion of the previous narrative on government culpability and black budget technological progression. We've seen the organizing of networks online to harass people who disagree with the new narrative. We've seen people like Lou Elizondo present UFO images to the public and in congressional settings, purporting them to be real, only to be debunked very soon after. And I would argue that we're also seeing a glacially paced political discussion that is going absolutely nowhere, with no viable route towards a meaningful discovery of actionable intelligence. And I think both the public and the wider Congress and Senate have been given the runaround. I think that we've been chasing after programs like Immaculate Constellation or Kona Blue, programs of no importance that seem more like deliberately laid out misdirection than a meaningful disclosure. And every year we're being told the next year will be even bigger and that disclosure is coming. But this whole process just seems to have been strategized and deployed with the exact opposite intention in mind, to actually slow disclosure by offering a heavily diluted narrative full of half-truths. And so this is how I feel. These feelings are not part of some agenda. These are the conclusions of a researcher who has been exposed to the underbelly of this subject, and I don't like what I see. Once again, I just want to say thank you for all of the new subscribers who have come to check me out. This is a particular video because there's been a lot of turbulence in the UFO community online after my Joe Rogan appearance, but I do a lot of different research into a lot of different subjects, and I do think that a lot of these subjects connect together, whether it be consciousness and quantum biophysics, the UFO phenomenon, high strangeness events for our history, ancient megalithic architecture. These all connect in ways that fascinate me. So I'll always be covering the UFO subject. I'll always be covering the ancient history subject, the consciousness subject. Like, this is just the, these are the passionate things that I love looking at. And I am an experiencer of the unknown in some way. And so that will always be with me forever. You know, I'll never not be interested in discussing the anomalous and discussing the unknown and trying to find answers, regardless of how many counterintelligence officers want to try and fuck with me. Happy New Year!